It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Then like a little air drum and air guitar in studio.
No, building up.
Makes it sound like sports radio in New York in the 70s or the 80s. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msosi@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Which you just heard. It's Kobe Slagle. Yep. Very excited for the new uniforms of somebody's.
The return of the Charlotte Hornets.
And speaking of the return, I'm back.
Yeah.
With a vengeance.
Yeah.
So, and I have some backup with me, because not only am I coming back with a vengeance, we're coming with a phoenix-like rise between the return of myself, and we have not had this gentleman on in a few weeks. Actually, it's been longer than that, but
it's been a while.
But it is, doesn't matter, because it's always a good time to play this.
Lawrence of Arabia, he's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music.
To it?
It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there are no words to that. Did you hear what I was saying earlier?
Somewhere
did you hear
I
what
know
I was saying
that
earlier?
Somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Somebody I did think wrote lyrics to that song. Mike Perry's in the house. Hi,
hey,
Mike.
Hey, Matthew. Hi, Kobe. Someone did write words to that song. I mean, the evidence is right there.
Maurice Jarre?
Just like Bill Murray wrote the words to Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. That's the second season?
Yeah, something like that.
No. Wait.
No, it was the second season.
His second season. But yes, if you look up Bill Murray Lounge Singer, you can see the lyrics to Star Wars. So take that, John Williams. Yeah. Isn't SNL, they're no longer on Hulu, right?
You're talking about the classic episodes?
Like old episodes, yeah.
I don't know.
That's okay. Sorry, folks, we've already let you down with in a couple of minutes. But I want to say a big shout out and thank you to Richard Probst.
Thank you, Richard.
And Christopher Lloyd.
Thanks, Chris.
And Ed Johnson Ott.
Yep.
And Jarrett Moore.
Yep.
And all the other guests who came in to fill in while I was on stage in Richmond doing all sorts of Shakespearean stuff. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for everybody who made it out. Screw you that didn't. And
not naming names.
No, I don't have time for that. You know what? Don't be snitching. Stop snitching. But, it's funny. Since I was in rehearsal, there have only been two films that I got to see that in the last 3 weeks.
And which ones were they?
One that was sent to me, the Ralph Steadman documentary.
Yeah. How was that?
It was fun. A film like that, I was a little worried because I remember seeing the documentary Gonzo, and, mm-hmm. and my issue with the film, and it's just me, was I already knew this stuff.
Yeah,
it's a great 101. I think this is a really good 101 for if you know the artwork of Ralph Steadman, and if you don't, you should. He, of course, did a lot of the art for Hunter Thompson, among others. But it was fun to hear Depp and him talking about the process and working with Thompson and how he creates. So that was kind of cool.
That's
and
cool.
there was stuff that I actually did not know that I found out knowing. So mission accomplished with that documentary.
Okay, well, I'll check that out on demand then.
Please do. And then the Monday after we opened, it was Sosi family night and we saw The Fault in Our Stars.
Did you cry?
I did not. Okay, I had this debate already. I think it's really well made. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I did not cry. I still can like it without crying.
Not even a tear.
No. I looked over at Emma. That was the other thing. I kept looking over to make sure she was...
Did Emma cry?
I would never ask her. I didn't see it, but I think she was doing the guy thing. I'm, look at dust in my eye.
Got some,
finger in your eyeball. Look at that. But she really enjoyed it. And I've read it, and Emma has read it. And, kudos to making Pittsburgh look like Indy.
Mm-hmm.
So... You saw it?
Yes, we actually saw it.
We. Well, I would say, I know you had to take Bianca to see it.
Yeah, well, we were going to read it. She made it through before we saw it. I'm about halfway through, but I decided to call it and say, let's just go ahead and see it.
Guess what? Somebody dies.
I know.
Cancer.
But saw it earlier this week and, liked it.
Yep. So you don't now you really have no business seeing anything written by Nicholas Sparks, ever.
I didn't really have a need to see Nicholas Sparks movies before.
And now you but I think this adds to the
super don't have
a need. Now it's super
double,
don't have a reason.
It's double secret don't. Did you see Fault in Our Stars?
No, not yet.
But
we have a young niece coming to town this weekend, so probably within the next week we'll probably go see it.
I don't feel that this is of the syrupy, sappy
schmaltzy.
Nicholas Sparks type thing.
And thank God for that. Could you imagine a drippy Fault in Our Stars? Your mug says at your desk, Kobe.
No.
That's not what we want.
No.
But that's what the trailers make you think
you're
going to get.
Well, of course that's what they want you to, think that. Because if you see it, what was it, The Vow? Where they had, Channing Tatum and Rachel McAdam, the guy from Dear John and the girl from The Notebook. And by the way, speaking of, you are also, just for a reminder, folks, because Mike hasn't been on in a while, and I'm really glad he's here, he's also our Rachel McAdams correspondent.
That list is just getting longer by the week.
No, she's on the list.
She's on the list.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks, we'll get to that in a little bit. Amy Adams.
Yes.
Emily Blunt.
Yes. Which
Olivia,
I saw her
Olivia Nunn.
One.
Yeah. She okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got a movie coming out that I want to
Mike's
see.
Harem over here.
Yes.
Here's the thing. If you ever meet these actresses, don't bring that up. I'm your correspondent. I'm...
Yeah.
No. Hi.
Hey, that's great. Hey.
Okay. Security.
Gonna stand over here now.
Gonna get over. Go away, creepy guy. Because only it takes a special talent and skill to be able to pull that off and not seem creepy. I'm your host, Matthew Soucy. So anyway, so those are the only two things I've been able to see. So it was kind of nice to see something. I actually saw this with the other film that opens today. I want to make this note before I get into my review. Go to Nuvo or Nuvo.net, and you can check out our colleague Ed Johnson's review of The Rover, where apparently Guy Pearce is beating up Robert Pattinson, which we all said that should be a winner to begin with. So. You have to ask Fair Sweet Bianca, Kobe, because she's not here. Will she see other films featuring the cast of Twilight? Is she that loyal?
I don't know.
Because
we didn't see Abduction.
Ooh, that would have just made you mad.
We did not
that
see.
That would really make you mad.
We did not see that, what was it, Cosmopolis?
Directed by David Cronenberg.
Did not
which
see
I'm actually
that.
Intrigued by.
And I seriously doubt that we will see this.
Or Snow White and the...
Ooh.
Did see Snow White and the Huntsman.
Not fun.
Not fun.
Not fun at all. Should have been fun. Not fun. Not fun.
You really need to care what happens to Snow White in a Snow White movie.
Kinda,
and
a little bit.
I was waiting for the wolf to get her.
Or at least Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
But I remember because Mirror Mirror also came out that time. I wish Mirror Mirror was a little more dark, and I wish Snow White and Huntsman was a little lighter.
Yeah.
Maybe if they just morphed together and made some mashup, but that's not going to happen.
Ooh. Oh, sorry.
You're right there? You thought about that.
Yeah, that just sent a chill right down my back.
Sorry. That's what we have here, bone-chilling radio on HD2. So anyway, Ed Johnson referred to The Rover as, I don't know if he wrote the headline. I know he loves the headline, sir. An existential jawbreaker.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Mad Max without the Thunderdomes, but the bleakness has its rewards. And this is from writer-director David McCoy, hope I'm saying it right, who directed Animal Kingdom, which I really, really loved, and made people scared of Jackie Weaver.
I'm still scared of her.
She's a scary lady. No, she's great in that. But anyway, so that is opening up at the Art Cinema. We also have not opening up the art cinema. Think Like a Man 2. T O O.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I think it's because Kevin Hart wants to star in another movie because he's got one every other month.
Yeah, there was a stretch there. He had like two or three.
Ride Along and Grudge Match.
Yes.
Something else I'm probably missing, and that's a really okay. But it's, I guess, the entire gang from Think Like a Man.
Everybody's back.
Surprise! I know, shocked, right? That everybody's back for Think Like a Man too. But the big film opening this week, and I really dollars and cents don't matter, but it's probably the one musical that's coming out this year. So it's Clint Eastwood producing and directing Jersey Boys, the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and their rise and fall. And well, they can't end with a fall. You know that. So here's some audio.
You want to hear the real story? I'm the one you want to talk to, Tommy DeVito. Wasn't for me, we all would have wound up with a bullet in our head.
Friends like that, you should change your name to Sinatra.
I'm going to be as big as Sinatra.
I would love to introduce you to a new discovery of mine, Frankie Valli. Dream of
wild, I heard them all, but I never heard a voice like Frankie Valli's. I know I need to write for this voice.
Frankie, the world is going to hear that voice.
You want me to produce your songs?
Find a name and a sound, and then we can make something happen.
Listen, we got something for you, all right?
Sherry.
Set up the A-track. We're going to double Frankie's voice. It's going to explode right off the radio.
Sherry. Is that a different sound? I love this record.
We do everything together.
How old are you?
Together or separately?
Big girls.
We got a success now. The records, the TV, the personal appearances.
You're just too good to be true.
Tommy's in a little trouble.
Where's him? He's doing it.
Can't take my eyes.
The fact is, the trouble started long before that.
You'd be like heaven.
You got the voice. I got the songs. We make a partnership.
I think Frankie would have cut Tommy loose right then. That's what you think? You're not from Jersey.
Can't take my eyes off of you.
Frankie, this is your time.
Esther, what was the high point? The four guys under a street lamp. First time we made that sound, our sound. That was the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Four Seasons!
Now, Kobe, you saw the stage show.
Yes, when I was touring here. So that was, oh man, that was 4 years ago, maybe?
Probably. Yeah. Sounds about right. Do you like what you remember of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Did you know of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons before Jersey Boys?
Yes.
You did? Oh, well, you studied music. Yes. You know what? You learned from David.
Yes.
Dr. Baker. So, not saying Dr. Baker taught doo-wop groups. Kobe, music guy. So. And, of course, you know the music. You grew up with it. I grew up with it.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it is a musical, but I'm gonna let you know a little something. This is
Is it a musical or is it a biopic / drama with music in it?
It's more like that.
Yay!
Because not a fan of musicals.
We don't like
Mike
musicals
Perry,
much.
Not a fan of musicals.
Not a fan of musicals.
Shame. Lack of diversity. Anyway, Wes Gehring, my film professor from the Ball State University, was the one that introduced me to the term the anti-musical. And what that means is it is – so let me guess, Mr. Perry. I'm glad you're here. This is okay. Going to be riveting radio. The idea of you and I sitting here exchanging pleasantries and then one of us bursting in the song.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's not happening. Yeah. So is that an issue you have with the genre itself?
It kind of is with me.
Kind of is. Just, okay.
I like to lose myself in the film, and when they just spontaneously burst out in the song, it kind of...
Even though it's a musical.
What if everything...
Now, there are some exceptions. I rather enjoyed, Across the Universe.
Okay, so that was where I was... What if everything is a song?
That's an opera.
Like, yeah, then it's an opera.
That's a rock opera.
Yeah, like Tommy. Across the Universe.
Across the Universe, yeah.
See, I'm not against checking out new art forms or art forms that I'm not usually, you know, in favor of, like musicals. Like, I will check out the occasional musical if there's something else that can pull me into it.
So an example of what I was told was an example of an anti-musical in this case is when the performances are happening on a stage, like Cabaret or Chicago. Right. In some cases,
because in that case, it's a film about that particular art form.
Right. And, you know, to a lesser degree, Hairspray is because it's on TV.
Kind of.
It's kind of, sort of. So anyway, this is in that because it's a musical about musicians. Mm-hmm. What a concept. Groundbreaking. So it's, yeah, because they're performing in clubs and on TV. So the only really musical, quote unquote, musical thing happens at the very end, and it's the curtain call with the credits. So you see the entire. So
what do you mean the only musical thing?
I said musical thing? I had finger quotes, which is great for radio.
Yeah.
But as far as the big, you know, musical number.
Right.
Rest of the time it's performances. Like you said, it's a drama with music. That's what this film is.
Okay.
That's what it does.
But I'm a big fan of the era, and I like the Four Seasons. I am interested to see what Clint Eastwood does with it.
Well,
so that'll get me into the theater.
What I have read, and the reviews have been they've been okay. And I guess The Onion took him to task for being, even though he didn't write the script, but he apparently they became more than faithful to the script. I guess is what it was said. I've not seen Jersey Boys. I know the story about the guys, and I went in and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And what I didn't know, and I actually, Kobe, let's check on this. The USA Today had a piece on John Lloyd Young, who won a Tony for playing Frankie Valli on Broadway, and he's in the show. And kudos to him because it doesn't happen very often when you get somebody from the original Broadway production to be in the film.
Yeah.
Most of the time you are hiring movie stars that can sing, some better than others, and that's all there is to it. Yeah. What obviously works from a budget standpoint on this, Jersey Boys is known. Clint Eastwood wanted to direct it. Warner Brothers said sure, and I'm sure that he's always been known to bring it in on time and under budget, and you don't have to have big name stars. It's about this group, and I think if a big name actor, and I'm not saying this is that, but you know, if Hugh Jackman is playing Frankie Valli, that's going to distract from people,
right?
So the unknowns. So I don't know the guys. I know that like I said that John was in the original production. You have Vincent Piazza, Eric Bergen, and Michael Lomenda playing the band, playing the group. All of them do a fine job. It's fun to watch. I know the music. It's fun. I enjoyed it, even though it brings absolutely nothing new to the story, to the genre. Nothing. Any film or musical you've seen about a musical group, Dreamgirls, The Commitments, That Thing You Do, all of it. You've seen this. You've seen this story. There is, and in fact, there's a few groaning moments where, I mean, there's a scene where the band gets their name, because it seems like every week they're changing their name, and it's literally a neon lit sign that is plugged in. You know, the only thing missing is a light bulb, just, you know, things like that. Or somebody says a line, and of course, you know, they're going to cut to the scene and it's going to be the title song of their next big hit.
Right.
I mean, it's that lack of subtlety, but I still enjoyed it. You know, I guess, you know, Clint is trying not to reinvent the wheel. Clint knows the music. He likes the music, which, you know, helps a great deal. And he treats the material that way. So it's not earth shattering. It's not groundbreaking. It was entertaining. And I'm sure there's going to be folks out there. And of course, the doughy white guys with glasses that are my colleagues that are going to probably more likely like it less than I.
But, now that was a good movie.
I am going to say it's a good movie. You know. Although, I will say, you have Christopher Walken in the film, you don't have him sing and dance. That's a problem. I know that it's not about him.
Yeah, but that's what the DVD extras will be for.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Or else he just bursts out in a fat boy, slim on the set. but he's the only real name in the film, and he plays a local businessman. Here's a shocker, folks. Some of these musical groups on the East Coast sometimes had to do business with businessmen in order to get ahead. Notice the drop. Finger quotes, businessman. And, you know, Walken's got a handful of scenes. He's quite good in it. It's nice to see him in this. But, yeah, it's fun. I would love to see what everybody else, especially you, Mr. Non-Musical, and, well, is Bianca, is she adding this to her queue?
We'll probably see it, yeah.
You'll probably see it? Mm-hmm. Good, good.
Yeah, this is on Miss Randall's list, so we'll go see it.
The Marm.
Cool. Yeah, the Marm.
Marm list, so. Good. Okay, so that is out. Few other notes happening, I guess. Oh, that already happened. Never mind. well, I have the Nuvo, and there was the Jimmy Buffett Live at the Drive-In at the Tibbs last night. Mm-hmm. Hope you had fun at that. But we are in midnight movie season.
Yes, we are.
I know we missed the Big Lebowski last week, and Back to the Future was the week before. This weekend, ladies and gentlemen, from 1981, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. Must see on the big screen. Have you seen it on the big screen, Mr. Slagle?
I have not.
You have not. I was 11.
Oh, you need to get there.
Yeah.
You need to get there.
You need to. Both of you.
It's one of those movies that you really need to see big.
Up close.
Yeah.
Get up close.
Yeah.
Get a cocktail, some popcorn, real butter. Go see it.
I think
it.
The first time I saw it was down in Greenwood, and I literally sat in the front row. After Star Wars, that's what we were trained to do. You get to the front row of these big blockbusters.
You will feel like a kid sitting as close as you can. We had a place, the Flint Cinema, which was off of Dort Highway, and this was our big single screen. Remember single screens, folks?
Mm-hmm.
And this was the place. It was a huge deal when they got. I mean, they would get some epics. This is where I saw Rocky. It's where I saw Star Wars. It's where I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's where I saw Reds. Death on the Nile. For some reason, I remember that. But yeah, big, huge screen. Lost Ark. Missed those. But anyway, that is a lot of fun. We're checking it. And by the way, don't let the DVD case fool you. It's not called Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No episodes. No, because Paramount, when they repackaged them a while back, they just threw IJ in the beginning. And
yep.
That's a lie.
IJ.
That's a lie. That's a big fat lie. So that is this weekend.
Yep.
So maybe tomorrow night, you and Fair Sweet Bianca.
Maybe.
After you're done with Los Cool Down.
Yes. Well, that could be a nice wind down from Kids in the Park tomorrow.
Yes, that is tomorrow.
Los Niños en el Parque. Es el mejor día del año.
So you're doing a remote of the Cool Down live from all the great ideas that weren't going to happen, the Blues House Party remote, no. Film Sociology remote.
No, Los Cool Down is not a remote tomorrow.
Hey, kid, what movies? Do you like movies?
Yes.
I Spider-Man.
Did you see Lego Movie?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Yeah. Where's my mom? Interviewing kids on the street in the park.
Yeah.
Not happening. Sorry.
Not happening.
So, not happening.
Now, are you dressing up as a character? Shh, don't tell the kids. Or are you going as yourself?
I am going as myself.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
You're there tomorrow as well?
I'm there tomorrow. I'll have a couple of camera guys following me around, taking pictures of everything. So.
Oh, I was going to say, why are they following you? What's he going to do next?
Because I point at stuff and say, shoot that. And they'll get it.
Careful. don't say that very loud. IPD will get you. Well, I'll be preparing for a Blues House Party, so there's that.
And that's what's going on at Landmark. And then tonight.
Yes, sir.
At Indianapolis Museum of Art, their Summer Night series, sold out.
Whoa.
Second week in a row. Not the second week for this movie, but they are sold out for the second week in a row. Last week was Friday the 13th, and they followed up tonight with The Jerk.
Carl Reiner, Steve Martin, Bernadette Peters, and M. Emmett Walsh with a gun.
Love The Jerk. Haven't seen The Jerk in a while,
Yeah, that would be cool to see.
And then IU Cinema.
They're back in full swing.
They're back in summer swing, really. They're in summer swing. It's okay. Kind of scaled down schedule a little bit. But this weekend, tonight, 7 o'clock, and tomorrow, Saturday, at 3 p.m., The Dance of Reality.
That's Jodorowsky's new film.
Yes.
From the creator. Earlier they played Jodorowsky's Dune.
Yes.
Love that documentary. So that's the only thing this weekend?
That's the only thing this weekend at IU Cinema. And then the Tibbs Drive-In Screen one, movie one, 21 Jump Street. Follow that up with A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Which Jump Street?
22 Jump Street.
Not the best idea of playing a couple year old's movies.
22 Jump Street.
And 8 Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yes, A Million, okay.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
How to Train Your Dragon 2, followed up by Maleficent.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Think Like a Man 2, followed by Edge of Tomorrow. Don't know about that.
Weird coupling. Yeah, just throw them together.
And see, here, I kind of feel like they could have maybe flip-flopped these here. And then on screen four, we got Fault in Our Stars, followed by X-Men.
What? They're both, okay, they're really? Both, those are both 20th Century Fox. I know that.
Yeah.
That's... Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I think here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're going to put this on the page, on my page. And I think, Kobe, put it on your page as well. Mike, you can do it as well. Next week, I want to hear from people their strangest drive-in double bill. Because usually...
Well,
usually,
what's your definition of strange?
Well, like, not connected. I think Fault of Our Stars and X-Men, that qualifies.
Think Like a Man 2 and Edge of Tomorrow.
My only thing is, are they the same studio? You know, like...
Well, you know Fault in Our Stars is an X-Men.
Right. But let's go back. Reread those again.
So we have 22 Jump Street and A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Silly action movies. Yeah. Silly action stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
Solid. How to Train Your Dragon 2 and Maleficent.
Fantasy kind of animated fantasy.
Got the kids.
Weird.
Yeah, okay.
Angelina Jolie, sure.
Think Like a Man 2 and Edge of Tomorrow.
That's straying a little bit.
Yeah,
Kevin Hart Vegas comedy and Tom Cruise End of the World thing.
End of the World. Yeah.
And Fault in Our Stars and X-Men Days of Future Past.
Two from Fox. That's it. That's the link.
They're really from Fox.
That's a really, as Hawk Harrells would say, a stretch.
Now, last year I went to the drive-in that they have up in Thorntown, Mel's at the Starlighter, I think is
yeah.
what it's called.
What'd you see?
This is taking me out of my comfort zone.
Uh-oh.
It was an interesting doubleheader, though. It was Grease, followed by It Takes a Thief. Or To Catch a Thief. To Catch a Thief.
Excuse me. Wow.
So you've got Travolta followed by Cary Grant.
That's odd. That's an odd pairing.
That is an odd pairing.
That's an odd pairing, ladies and gentlemen. And I guess you could see Hitchcock in a drive-in. Why not? Of course, I still want to do the art house drive-in, which five people will think is brilliant. You watch The Seventh Seal in your car. Okay, we're going to watch. So for mine, it'll be, okay, we're going to watch Seventh Seal and Yojimbo. Yeah. I could have said Seven Samurai. Or, okay, we're going to watch, let's see. How about Fellini's Satyricon and The Grand Illusion? Yeah, let's do that. How about The Wild Bunch and City Lights? Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So yeah, next week, ladies and gentlemen, go to my Facebook page or Twitter, or go to Kobe's Facebook page and Twitter, and tell us I'll post this online. Your strangest drive-in doubleheader. Because I think right now Mike Perry set the bar. That's pretty good. So there is that.
Then also next week.
Oh, The Room is next week.
Yes.
Are you coming next Friday?
If I'm awake, yeah.
They're called naps, sir.
Yes, I know.
I know.
On Friday, I don't get very many.
I know definitely I will be there Friday, next Friday at midnight.
Yep. I think Fair Sweet Bianca and I will be there, as well as Dr. Avi.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see what film sociology is like in public, you should. You're part of this too.
I know.
You should definitely go to Landmark Cinemas next Friday night at midnight. Actually, 11. I'm going to get there early.
It is a rip roaring good time.
It is rip roaring public radio goodness with The Room, which means, of course, next week. Don't be surprised if you hear my epic chat with famed filmmaker Tommy Wiseau.
You'll be up until 2 o'clock, but you'll be glad that you did.
It's worth it. Worth every penny.
Swing by the dollar store to get your plastic spoons.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea. They do sell those, don't they? I have to pick those
up. That's
a
place to be.
That's a good place to go. So that's anyway, that is next week. Also, found out at the Jazz Kitchen on the 22nd. That's Saturday. It's tomorrow, right?
That's Sunday.
Sunday the 22nd at 5:45 p.m., there's going to be an event They're going to have a screening of Do the Right Thing. Starting at, well, doors open at 5:45. There's going to be performances by poets Tony Styx, Jorani York, and Gabrielle
Always
Pattinson.
Do the right thing, Matt Sosie.
That was good. That's going to be at 5:45, and then at 6:15, they're going to show Do the Right Thing. You have to RSVP, and it's 21 or over. But so, yeah, go to the Jazz Kitchen, check that out. Yeah, I think part of this, it's the 25th anniversary, also great timing with, or bad timing with the passing of Ruby Dee. May she rest in peace. I know Mr. Probst talked about Ruby Dee on last week's show.
Yep.
And I wanted to add my two cents in a little bit about her. Wonderful woman, of course, great couple, and they made a great kid, Guy Davis, who's a musician friend of mine. And the two things I remember about her, besides her work, but she, of course, won an Academy Award nomination for playing Denzel Washington's mother in American Gangster. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene, if you remember in that film, she slaps Denzel. And I remember seeing this in a full packed screening house, and the air just got sucked right out of the room. I mean, it was a huge collective gasp. And after Ruby Dee got nominated, I called up Guy and wished to tell him to wish his mother congratulations. And he said, she got nominated for slapping Denzel. Who do you think she got in training with her whole life to get up to that moment? Me. So thanks for that, Guy. But I always remember, I always refer to that as the second slap heard around the world, because the first slap heard around the world, according to people, and there was a fun documentary on the DVD, was Sidney Poitier slapping the racist guy in the heat of the night, which happened in, that's a 1967 film, and apparently, according to reports, folks just lost their minds in the theater. Mm-hmm. So they had never seen that, and now they have. So go check that out. If you go to YouTube, or really, you should rent In the Heat of the Night. It's a really good film. Rod Steiger won Best Actor. Great intense gum chewing by Mr. Steiger. He studied classical to chew gum that way.
Yeah,
it's a thing. We'll add it to your list.
All right,
because your pile isn't tall enough to begin with, Mr. Slagle. Anyway, that's worth checking out. So yeah, Ruby Dee, salute to you. But yeah, Do the Right Thing Sunday at 6:15, poetry at 5:45 at the Jazz Kitchen. Go check that out. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Perry, since I've been gone, and you are usually one of, besides all the correspondent positions you have, you hold here at Film Sociology, because I haven't seen anything really new in the last few weeks, except for the couple of titles I've already brought up. What else have you seen recently?
I've seen Maleficent. I've seen Edge of Tomorrow. I've seen A Million Ways to Die in the West. Saw X-Men twice. No, those are the most recent, I think.
So how's Angelina Jolie in her contacts?
It was a very good treatment of it, I thought. Okay. There are parts of the story, especially towards the end, where I thought they may have revisioned a little too much from the original story. But that aside, we saw it at the IMAX in 3D up in Noblesville.
Worth it?
Worth it.
Really?
It was worth it. It was worth it.
She thrust her leg out like she did at the Oscars. Now that's worth it in the 3D.
No, but it just adds a little bit more depth to the battle scenes in particular, and some of the scenes she has with young Aurora.
Okay,
Elle Fanning.
Right.
It was worth the extra few bucks for the 3D.
So it sounds like it's one of the better serious dark tales of children's stories.
There are parts of it that are dark. I mean dark. But it bounces back towards the middle of the story and in the original Sleeping Beauty, the scene towards the end where, she becomes the dragon and fights Prince Charming and all that nonsense.
By the way, Mike Perry had his arm waved in battle.
I had the sword raised above my head.
You know what he's sword buckling.
Yeah, as a kid, scared me to death.
Sure.
There are parts of this movie that will scare children to death. But, well, not literally to death. You know what I mean.
Literally.
Yes, not literally.
Every generation... Kids need. I always remember Maurice Sendak when somebody asked him about his book, Where the Wild Things Are, and he said, "Let them wet their pants." Mm-hmm. Every generation needs to be scared. So, except for Kobe, of course. He's got a big grumpy cat coffee mug that says otherwise.
But that said, you know, the premise of the movie, I think, is ingenious. Yes, we all know she becomes this evil witch creature, but what got her there? And the
so
story,
it's wicked.
The story, yeah, the story is what got us there.
Okay.
And they do that very well.
All right.
You actually find yourself pulling for her through the majority of the movie, no matter what evil thing she does. And Maleficent grows a conscience in this movie, and so it radically changes the story, but not in a bad way. I mean, I think it's a very interesting treatment of the story.
Okay, and we were discussing off air. You also saw Seth MacFarlane's latest work.
Yes. Save yourself some money. Just watch the trailer. That's where all the funny parts are.
How short should the film be?
two minutes. I was very, after coming off Ted, which had me laughing pretty much throughout.
Correct.
Literally. Every scene that I laughed at while I was watching the trailers months ago.
Now, is there a link to this in Blazing Saddles, or is he trying to make his own crude Western?
He's trying to make his own crude Western. There's not a whole lot of throwbacks to Blazing
Saddles.
Which is
fine. Which I guess. You have to. But...
I mean, there is one passing gas reference.
Okay.
I think that was the homage. And...
My question, I guess, was, you know, how many jokes are run to the ground?
Richard Probst was talking about it, it sounds like pretty much everything.
Yeah, especially everything that has to do with Sarah Silverman's character is just really overdone. I mean, it's just the same joke over and over and over again. It's got good people in it. I like most of the people in it. Love Charlize Theron. Liam Neeson's very game for doing this.
Which he needs to be
a
comedy.
And you know, he makes a very serviceable bad guy in this, but on the whole, I was hoping it would be a lot funnier than it was, and I was disappointed in it. I was very disappointed in it.
That's kind of what Probst was talking about everything, all the jokes, everything just stretched way too thin, and kind of like in Ted when there were awkward moments in Ted when jokes weren't hitting.
Right.
This is that, only a lot more of that.
It's Shaq at the free throw line.
Right.
Can I make it?
But they show you, they show you all the home runs in the trailer. So once you see the trailer, you've seen majority of the funny parts of this movie. So I was very disappointed.
And Edge of Tomorrow is Groundhog Day meets Armageddon.
That's a very good description.
And your girl Emily's in it, so.
And I found that better than I expected it to be, honestly. I think they threw a lot of light stuff in there. There are a lot of funny scenes with Tom Cruise in this movie.
Wow, because you don't see that at all in the advertising.
Right. I mean, especially when he's
dying
and coming back repeatedly,
frustrated. Yeah,
I mean, there's a stretch where they just show dead, and it's kind of funny.
So, do you enjoy this more than Oblivion? Because that's the other thing. He's got to stop doing futuristic stuff for a while. He's got two under his
belt. I like this better than Oblivion.
Okay. All right. And
it's got Emily Blunt.
I was about to say,
hot and sweaty Emily Blunt. We just, we're really good with that.
Hi, at Emily Blunt on Twitter. No. One of my colleagues at the festival saw it and said, you need to see Edge of Tomorrow just for a yoga scene. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So there's that. I guess you can YouTube it if there's a bootleg. We don't recommend you doing that. with that in mind, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point at WFYI.org. We'll be right back.
good. Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci, hanging out with Mike Perry and with Kobe Slagle. Also, a reminder, folks, June 26th through the 28th is the Heartland Film Festival Summer Rewind, a Fountain Square mini-fest. That's happening at the Heartland Basile Theater in the Wheeler Arts Community. Go to heartlandfilm.org for schedule and tickets. It's going to be a good time with the Heartland Film Festival. We were talking before the break. Mike Perry was catching up with us on some of the films he's seen over the summer since I was on hiatus for 3 weeks. I guess, ladies, gents, it's looking like, I guess, Godzilla and The Fault in Our Stars. Those are the two best things I've seen this summer. Anybody want to throw anything else in?
I haven't seen either of those yet. So
you've not seen Godzilla?
No.
Wow.
I was never a big Godzilla guy. Yeah.
Really?
Now, when they bring back Mothra, I'm there.
Okay, well, maybe the next one.
Or Gamera.
Gamera is really
neat. You gotta
really
love flying turtle meat. I mean, you gotta love it.
Well, thanks, Mr. Science Theater, for that.
Yes.
So. Kobe, you have seen Godzilla or no?
No, I have not seen Godzilla again.
Well, I'm glad I saw it.
Not a big Godzilla guy.
Not a big God guy?
not a big
kidding,
Godzilla guy.
Kidding, folks. Oh,
but did see 22 Jump Street last week.
And?
Like 22 Jump Street.
My colleague, Jeff Marker, liked it in spite of himself. nobody, I think, you know, because it's a sequel, but it also makes fun of it being a sequel.
Right.
More jump, more street.
Yeah, it's...
I ask this, because 21 Jump Street was a big surprise. Part of it was the fact that it's a funny film, the fact that it's a TV movie, but they kept it R-rated, which I think was a huge plus. They didn't really pull any punches. What do they do different in college that they didn't do in high school, besides have spring break?
Not really anything. I mean, and they allude to it in the movie, too, that... This is the same thing. You are doing the same thing. This is the same type of job. Yeah. You're going to, infiltrate the dealer, find the supplier.
Yeah. Right.
Same thing. The only difference in this movie is they happen to be in college, and it's not old. It's not tired. It's not worn out yet. And I think that's because Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum
still worked well together.
Really well together. I thought Channing Tatum was funnier in this one than the first one.
Wow.
I haven't seen the first one in a while, but
okay.
If you like 22 jumps, if you like 21 Jump Street,
you sound like an ad.
If you like 21 Jump Street, you will like 22. It's just more of it.
More jumping, more street with a bigger number.
So in a couple of years when we see 22 and a half Jump Street, where they've added on to the new building, they're going to be in graduate school. Is that going to be the deal?
Actually, that's
alluded to without giving anything away.
Kinda.
They're gonna
stick around for the credits.
Okay.
They're going to hang out with David Baker, with Dr. Baker. Well, cool. All right. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
So. By the way, do we have Joe Shearing's description of Channing Tatum's character, which is actually really about me?
Yeah, hang on.
So that was one of my finest, most self-indulgent, by the way, self-indulgent show galore. This is probably the most self-indulgent. We've used this for my old intro.
Oh, man. See,
you don't have it. It's okay.
Oh, I got it.
Let me ask you, now that we, you know, since we've taken a break in the show, we're now doing our show chat on air, a production meeting. Do you want to bring back the... little audio nuggets in the intro, Kobe? You can if you can,
oh, yeah.
if you want to.
Yeah.
Is it, I know, ladies and gentlemen, we have new equipment here in WFYI. So I wasn't sure with the new Adobe Audition if that was something you could incorporate in.
Yeah,
all right.
We can do that.
All right. You're more than allowed to in the new intro.
Okay.
Thank you to my lovely wife, Lynn, for doing the new intro. And you know what? Every now and then, we might do a retro. Not a throwback Thursday because the show's on Fridays. And you might hear the old Scott Hoke intro. We'll see. You know why? It's up to Kobe. He's right there.
Who knows what's going to happen?
That's what makes this show great. All right. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Quite a list. Quite a short list. I guess the big title is the Lego Movie. Yes, I keep wanting to talk the former Child's Film correspondent to checking it out. She's in a space where it's too popular.
Mm.
You know, I don't have to buy Frozen on Blu-ray now, apparently. But I keep telling her, I said, I think you'll like the Lego movie. If you liked Wreck-It Ralph as far as wall-to-wall visuals mm-hmm. and stuff that you have to watch a couple of times to get all of them. And it's surprising because it's a product placement movie, but it's not a product placement movie. You did see it.
I did not see it.
You did not see it. It's fun. It is fun. Because when you see something called the Lego movie, that's like the Coke movie or the Rock and Roll McDonald's movie.
which is pretty much why I didn't go see it.
But it is way smarter than it should be. Part of it is they poke fun of what sometimes you do with Legos. I became an old person. I had never played with the Lego kits, you know, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, whatever, because I want to build my own stuff. And it talks about that. It talks about following the path. It talks about being a part of a team. Of course, Everything Is Awesome it probably won't get nominated for best song, but it's an earwig in people's heads, if those who know the song. Lots of fun voices in it. Lots of weird cameos that are just enjoyable. Hello, Billy Dee Williams. There's a section involving Will Ferrell as a human being, which talks about the need to play. So it is actually more than just a product placement movie.
Oh, cool.
So I would say, go check.
I may check it out.
Now,
on video.
That being said, and I'm sure if the little hipster were here, she would talk about this. The other, the other animated film coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week is one that Emma said should have won Best Animated Feature and is better than Frozen, and more people should check it out. But it's the Academy Award nominated Ernest and Celestine. A really, really wonderful, simple French animated tale of a mouse and a bear and the friendship that they have and how they rock into each other and walk into each other's worlds. There's little elements of Mouse and the Lion, the story of the Lion and the Mouse. You might also get some flashbacks of Monsters, Inc., because there's the bear world and there's the mouse world, and the two should never meet, and you are scared of the other world. Really fun chemistry between the mouse and the bear. And it's simply drawn, and it's just a wonderfully sweet, beautiful film. Now, there is also – now, depending on – I haven't checked the packaging out itself, but there is a French version, the original, you know, French with American English subtitles, and there's also a dubbed version, which I know features Forest Whitaker and I forget the other. I'm sorry. Terrible. But I know Forest is the voice of the bear. And Stacey Studeville showed it to Maya, and she loved it. So, and I can't remember. I think she showed the subtitle version. Because this is a film, even for a four-year-old, even if you can't read all the subtitles, you'll still get the story. You'll still understand it. So, on behalf of the little hipster, we call her Emma, please go give this film a chance. Go check it out. I know there's going to be like 45 copies of the Lego movie in your local video store if they're still out there. Look for the three copies of Ernest and Celestine.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Also out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, The Grand Budapest Hotel, early front runner for one of the top films of the year, the latest from Wes Anderson, Kobe's first Wes Anderson experience.
Yes.
Wes Anderson's version of a 1940s farce with Ralph Fiennes, Edward Norton, F. Murray Abraham, Jason Schwartzman, Tilda Swinton, lots of great people in it, and it's a hotel in Budapest, and Ralph Fiennes doing comedy. It's like Liam Neeson doing comedy. Much, much needed, much appreciated.
And he's surprisingly good at it. I love this movie. I smiled throughout the whole thing. It's easy on the eyes. It's a very colorful, bright movie.
Yep.
It's just fun to watch.
And I know some folks are sometimes taken aback by Mr. Anderson's work because it can be dry and sardonic and...
It's not nearly as low-key as like Moonrise Kingdom was, which I also enjoyed very
much. I've yet to see a bad Wes Anderson film. So, yes, it's not Royal Tenenbaums. It's not Darjeeling Limited or Moonrise Kingdom. It's wackier than that.
Yeah.
But you still get your perfectly centered
and
shots.
And just about his entire repertory company shows up in this movie at one point or another.
And that's not a bad...
Got your Bill Murray, your Owen Wilson.
That's right.
Your Adrian Brody.
And somebody dug up Harvey Keitel and got him in this.
Yeah.
So good for him on that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Even if you haven't liked his films in the past, give this one a shot. This might be the perfect Wes Anderson 101. So, Kobe, you've already passed with flying colors. Also out is a Nicolas Cage film called Joe, which it looks like it's one of the smaller films he works on, so he's not paying off his debt by being in this film. The documentary B.B. King, The Life of Riley. Well, I'll be mentioning that on the show, on the Blues House Party tomorrow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the many reasons why I love Mike Perry as a guest and as a coworker and as a friend is, and I use the mantra, of course, I see films so you don't have to. And because Mr. Perry has many correspondent titles, one of which is of the lovely Elizabeth Banks. Elizabeth Banks had a film that came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and I asked him to check it out. He did. Mike, you saw Walk of Shame, and you're still on the show, so I say thank you.
Yes, I watched it so you didn't have to.
This is a film that has Elizabeth Banks doing the title, and that should hopefully lead to good things because we're kind of old perverted men at
times. You would think. I mean, I after seeing this movie, and this is a movie that features her in a skin-tight dress throughout.
She's
a news reporter who's got a big anchor gig coming up, but her boyfriend dumps her, so her girlfriends take her out for a night on a town.
Not a good thing to do the night before.
And she ends up getting, you know, stranded after a one-night stand.
With James Marsden. Not a bad... There's a movie, that movie that should have been made.
I mean, it sounds like it could be a very funny movie. And the movie tracks her struggle without any ID or money or car to get back to the station in order to do this big interview for this big anchor job that's going to be the most important thing of her life. And, man, it was a great premise. The execution was just terrible. The script is so poorly written. It turns everyone she meets into an adversary except the drug dealer she runs into.
See what you did there? The guy who's supposed to be the most menacing becomes the most helpful.
Yes, most helpful.
I see.
And, but it is easily the worst movie I've seen Elizabeth Banks in, and I've seen Slither.
Kobe, pull up Miss Banks' IMDb page.
Okay.
We're gonna see if that's true. Wow, you did see Slither, and
yes.
I know people that really like Slither.
It had its moments, but it wasn't going to win any awards,
right?
And she's been in some great comedies and a few good dramas.
Yep,
this is neither. She, even though she's in, and I'm using the finger quotes here, air quotes. Peril throughout the entire movie, you really don't get a big sense that she's actually in danger. Mm-hmm. And people are difficult with her only because the writers need them to be difficult with
her.
She gets no help from anybody. She gets no help from cops. She gets no help from people in stores, nothing. Anybody who could help her refuses to.
The big mean city.
Right. Big mean city of L.A. And how often do you say that?
Right.
I mean, it's.
Wow.
I was really bummed out about this movie. With one of my favorite actresses in it. It shouldn't have been done.
All right, Kobe, let's see. Can we find something that Elizabeth Banks has done that's worse than Slither or Walk of Shame? Start from the beginning.
I'm going to start from the top here. Every Secret Thing. Did we see Every Secret Thing this year?
No.
No. The Lego Movie, she was a voice in there. Little Accidents. Did not see little accidents. No. Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Movie 43.
Oh, God, Movie 43. Oh, okay. But that's a segment. Yeah. She's not carrying the movie. That's far worse than I think those films. But that doesn't count. Sorry.
Okay, Pitch Perfect. People Like Us.
I still
Us.
Haven't seen that. So People Like Us should have been 10 minutes long.
Yeah, People Like Us.
But no,
it was a pleasant little movie. I mean, it gets you where they wanted you to go,
right.
And it was fine. But you know.
No, it's not, nothing like this.
No,
what to
like
expect
this.
When you're expecting?
I don't want to see that. And hopefully, yeah. Bianca won't make you see that either.
Man on a Ledge.
Well, that was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
Our Idiot Brother.
I still need to see that.
Oh, well, you need to see that.
Well, half the the ladies are in it, and our guy Paul Rudd. Yeah,
half the cast of Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes,
The Details.
Missed that.
Did not see The Details. The Next 3 days.
I saw that.
That's right. Paul Haggis,
Russell
Crowe. Yeah.
Let's see. The Uninvited. 2009.
Emma likes that movie for some reason.
Role Models.
That's okay.
But she did all right in
she
it.
She was fine.
Zach and Miri.
Make a Porno. Yeah. It's called Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Wow. Don't let... Yeah, I like that.
Lovely
yeah.
Still?
Hmm?
Lovely Still?
She is, but no.
Yeah.
TV series Meet Dave.
Yeah.
Oh,
you gave me a copy of that.
That's right, with Aaron Eckhart. Yeah, that's okay.
Definitely Maybe.
You're not going to see that, because Ryan Reynolds gets to be with a bunch of beautiful women, and that will just irritate you, Kobe.
I saw that at a very vulnerable time in my life, and... My daughter still teases me for tearing up at that movie.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Rachel Weisz, Isla Fisher, and Elizabeth Banks.
It just pushed the right buttons at the wrong time.
Okay.
Fred Claus.
Oh, that film's terrible. Oh, okay. Oh, that's not as bad as Movie 43. I did not like that film at all. You won't see it because your guy Vince
Vaughn's in it. Movie 43 is just 2 hours of, I can't believe they got these people to do this.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, I didn't like Fred Claus.
Meet Bill.
Oh, that's the Eddie Murphy movie. I don't even remember it. Or was that Meet... anyway.
It was bad, but not because of her.
Okay. Spider-Man 3, Invincible.
Oh, she's got cameos.
Slither.
Invincible, I like
Daltrey,
her.
Calhoun. Yeah. 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, she's good in
there. Yeah.
The first thing I remember seeing her in was Seabiscuit, so that sets the bar up kind of high.
Okay, that's kind of high,
The Baxter, The Sisters, Sexual
She's good
Life.
In The Baxter.
Heights, Spider-Man 2, Seabiscuit, The Trade, Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's, because she's in that. Amy Adams is in that.
Swept Away, Spider-Man.
Ooh, terrible. That's not her film, though.
Ordinary Sinner, Wet Hot American Summer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Shaft.
She was in Shaft?
She was in
John Singleton's Shaft?
The Sam Jackson Shaft?
Wow. I have to check that out.
TV.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, but, all right. So, wow. So, you hit a low point for
Yeah. This
she has nowhere to go but up.
It was only in theaters for like a week, so that should tell you something.
There you go. Also on a DVD and Blu-ray, a couple old titles. Criterion has out the Peter Weir drama Picnic at Hanging Rock, which I need to watch again. I think I was too young to fully grasp all of that. And I think it's also in Danny Peary's book Cult Movies. And they're repackaging it because a new one is coming in July. But this is the Planet of the Apes Legacy Collection. Now, I don't know if the last Planet of the Apes film, which was a big surprise and liked, is in this. Don't know if Tim Burton's attempt at that.
No, I hope not.
I don't know if it's just the original stuff with Roddy McDowall, Kim Hunter. So anyway, go look that because you need a new packaging of Planet of the Apes because there's a new one coming out. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Mike Perry, thanks for hanging out. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Good to be back. Next week, The Room. You're going to hear Tommy Wiseau on this show, not live. And come see The Room a week from tonight at Landmark Cinemas. You'll see the whole film sociology gang and its outer fringe, the film sociology chess set. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.